Hello, everyone. This is Dave Goulas, president of EasyDC 3PL, and thank you for tuning in to the Beyond Fulfillment podcast, where we spotlight small business owners, entrepreneurs, startup founders, and we have real conversations about their journey, what it's really like, and what they've learned along the way. Thank you and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Beyond Fulfillment podcast. I'm your host, Dave Goulas of EasyDC 3PL. And this week, my guest is the Chief of Staff of S-Works, Mia Mazzal. Welcome, Mia.
Thank you so much for having me here, Dave.
Yeah, thank you for being here. If you could, for everyone, can you just tell us what S-Works is?
Yeah, so S-Works is a nearshoring and staffing solutions provider based out of Colombia, where we have our offices and we hire talent that works in our office. So they're actually in person for us, but they're working as full-time employees in remote for our customers, focused on the logistics, transportation industry, as well as technology. And this talent that we're offering is multilingual or bilingual, high-performing talent coming with industry experience and ready to hit the ground running with our customers.
Okay. And so the company is rather new. It's about 2 years old. Is that right?
Yes. We opened up our operational doors actually last April. So we're coming up or a year and a half, really, since we've started really hitting the ground running and functioning.
Okay. And if I understand correctly, you were the very first employee in the company?
So, yeah, there's the two founders. And then I was really the first person they targeted to hire because they really needed someone to kind of go to Colombia and open up those operations. And based off my relationship with the founders previously and them knowing a little bit about my work ethic and my trajectory for my own life, it kind of, you know, worked out perfectly. And so, yeah, they offered me that opportunity and I was the first one on board onto the S-Works team.
Okay. And so had you ever been to Colombia prior to that?
Great question. Nope. when they called me and, you know, we kind of had the conversation or the idea sparked, by the fourth week, I said, yes, let's do it. Let's full force jump into it. And had never been to Colombia. As much as I knew, it was the same probably as anybody else, you know, just what you see on Narcos. So I didn't really know anything at all about Colombia. But my mom, her one condition was that she needed to visit before I moved out there. So between that period of getting my visa, we were able to hop on a plane and make a little visit. Although I had already taken the decision, that just, you know, affirmed my decision. And then I just, you know, jumped on over.
Wow. So what's that like to not only, you know, be part of a startup, which is challenging in itself, but to go into a foreign country that, you know, has maybe a reputation for some dangerous parts or whatnot, and just jump in there and open up a brand new business. What was that like?
Yeah, well, it was definitely crazy. it was a little bit scary because I was living with my family before. So not only was I moving out to a new continent, a new country, I was finally living on my own for the first time ever. So that's a scary process, even if you're staying in the same state or in the same city you're born in. So that was kind of a hurdle to jump through. But immediately when I got to Colombia, the very first person I met was the driver that picked me up from the airport. And since that day, he ended up being my adopted grandfather. So transitioning over there with him and meeting friends and family through him, and then kind of that domino effect of meeting more and more people, I immediately felt really welcomed and safe. Maybe I shouldn't have felt that safe, but I really trusted him. And still today, we talk every single week. So it actually, very luckily, it was a very short learning curve. And as soon as I went out there as well, I was on a weekend. And that Monday, I was already in the office. So having that connection with the individuals in the office and also being very welcomed there, it just made the curve to adjustment much easier and shorter than I expected, thank God. Obviously, it was a little bit scary, you know, figuring out the area and where can I go. And, you know, as a woman, it's a little bit scary to, you know, kind of walk on these streets by yourself in a completely new place. Spanish is technically my first language, but I'm not street smart Spanish. I am very much like, you know, talk with my parents about how school was. So being able to kind of pick up that lingo as well and kind of be more confident when I walk on the streets, blending in my clothes, those types of things. That took a little bit longer than I expected it. But nonetheless, in general, it was very, very fast adjustment period. And I'm very grateful for that.
Okay. And so I noticed too, even dealing with you and seeing how your company operates, you wear a lot of hats to mm-hmm. where you're in the office managing employees, you're doing all the biz dev, you travel a ton, and we'll get into that. So what's that experience been like, having to do so many different things within the business just to keep it growing?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. When I was studying my bachelor's and my master's, I actually also did a certificate in social entrepreneurship. And basically that allowed me to really see what it's like to grow a company from zero, you know, to the point of identifying a problem and based off that problem, creating a solution, and then implementing that, right? And what are all the processes or steps you need to start building that company? So having that, you know, education and then being able to see it in real life and be a part of it was for me a super fun. You know, I'm very much like go, 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 fast pace. And when it's a startup and you kind of need to get scratchy and roll up your sleeves and support with different things that might be completely unknown to me, but now I get to learn about and then maybe utilize in my future, that to me is very, very motivating. So originally when I first came on, and like I mentioned, I kind of opened up the operations in the office in Medellin, our first office. I started on the operational side, you know, working with our customers, making sure that they're happy, and dabbling a little bit into marketing as well. I realized marketing is not my thing, and that I really do like the operational side, but I need more inconsistency, really. I like a lot of change. So being in sales where, you know, you start a cycle, you close it, you start a new one, you close it, that, you know, constant newness is something that fits a lot with my personality and my preferences. So I started to kind of shift over that way. We've got a lot of more key players joined our team, and we're able to assist with those other departments. And then I was able to shift a little bit more into sales, partnerships, and business development where I am now. And I feel like that's kind of the area for me today, although within that area, there's still a lot of newness and a lot of uncertainty, which I love. But that whole little scratchy mentality for me is super fitting, but it might not be for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great you have that self-awareness and that intuition to really see where your strengths are and to just go with that.
Yeah, thankfully.
You mentioned marketing. So like marketing may not be your thing, but one thing I noticed is the marketing that S-Works does is very strong. They're always posting, always mm-hmm. showing videos of the office. You guys are always having a good time. What's it been like having that type of team and the atmosphere you have in the office?
Yeah, it's been awesome, really. You know, again, marketing is not my thing. I'm not the type to post on social media or even have social media. So in the beginning, it was very much a learning curve. Because to me, it's like a chore, you know, posting a picture on social media, even if it's for my own personal account. So I started to kind of change that attitude and look at it in a different lens. Instead of it being a job that I need to post because I need to meet this KPI for this week, I kind of flipped it around and wanted it to be something that truly kind of reflected me and my values. So if you see a different people from S-Works and you open each personal profile, you're going to see we each have a different spin on it. So we have some individuals that do Wellness Fridays, or some do Mindfulness Tuesdays. I think Maria does Fri-yays, where she posts a meme on Fridays. I focus very much on self-care and trying to balance that professional and that personal aspect. And then obviously events, as I go to a lot of events. So kind of making it still be about myself with a twist and still being able to share that value about S-Works at the same time was the way that I really adapted to it. But nonetheless, our marketing team is exceptional, and they very much work with us. They understand, you know, we're humans and they're not going to make us do something just because we have to go through the motions. That's not the idea. And I think that's why we have so much movement. Nobody is forced to post or interact or like, but we motivate them enough where they want to do it to the point where they just do it themselves. And that's why you see all that organic movement or posting on other people's posts, videos of the office, because we genuinely like sharing that information and that environment that we have with others. So bringing other people into it for us is a win-win, right? So kind of having that self-motivation to have them post and not making it be like a chore has worked really, really well for us.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point too, because one of the topics that's big these days is like workplace culture and everyone, with labor shortage or trying to find employees, so many people say, listen, you have to have a company that people want to be at. And it seems like that, being a young company and having a different, it's very kind of non-traditional corporate type of vibe there. I mean, how important do you think that is to have that type of culture that people want to, be part of the
Huge.
team?
Oh my God, huge. We do have a 95% retention rate, and I think it's due to all that. A lot of our population is on the younger side. Myself, I'm 24, and a lot of our operational side as well, our collaborators, we like to call them, are also younger, less than 30. And so we have a lot of fresh minds and new perspectives, which is awesome because we can try out new things. But at the same time, we're still, here to work and here to grow not only, the individuals that we're working alongside, but ourselves, right? Personally and professionally. So being able to build an environment where they have those opportunities and they want to share that with others, goes a long way. I don't want anybody to, I don't want to beg anybody to come into these doors. I want people to beg and want to be in our doors and desperate to be a part of S-Works because they like what they see. Not because they just are desperate for a job or something along those lines. I said self-motivation previously, and I think that's key. I don't want to have to work every single day to motivate my employees. They should already feel that motivation internally from the processes, and the culture of the environment we already have in place and have been building from the start. And we'll continue to, work towards that. But if you do have those, rocks in place, it's not going to be a constant push to, retain these employees. They should want to be retaining themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Like you say, you can, if you're forcing someone to do something, it's not going to work for very long and you're not going to get the best out of them. So you have to have people buy in and be engaged, no doubt.
Yeah, and I always mention, you don't want an individual to be, let's say, the best sales rep ever, because someone can be the best sales rep ever, but if they don't truly enjoy doing that role, then they're going to come into that role and then they're going to leave the next day as well. So it's not just matching those skills, or the tasks that need to be involved in that role, but also what are their preferences, what are their desires, what are their dislikes as well, because that's going to make sure that we're in selecting individuals and matching individuals that are there to stay and actually continue and grow, not just fill a need for 3 weeks and then, you have to start from zero.
Yeah. You also mentioned the travel. So I think if I'm remembering right, it was something like you've been to 18 trade shows in the last year.
Yeah. 18 events since January till November. Now November there's no more events, and December there is none, but oh my goodness, it was a whirlwind.
Yeah, that's two a month every month. That's like very, what was that like, all that travel and all, because I know what a show is like, and it's like you still have your office work, you still have emails
Oh
coming in,
yeah.
you still jump on Zooms when you can, and then you have the show work. Like, how is it managing all that plus the
Oh
travel?
my goodness. Well, and then not to even mention, besides the events, I was living in Colombia when I moved out. I still go there every 6 weeks. And then, so there's a lot, even more travel than just the events, but it's definitely a lot. I will say it's not an easy task. And, you're taking time out to be in these events. And for me specifically, the goal is to, make new relationships, expand my network, and have conversations. And conversations take time. So, I have already my chores or my duties that I need to fulfill. Then I'm now cutting out time to, meet new people and give myself more chores and duties. And then after the event, follow up on all that, when normally after the event, I'm now hopping on a plane to another event. So it comes with a lot of lack of sleep. It comes with a lot of organization. And more than that, it comes with a lot of support from team members, making sure that I have people that are there to support me or follow up if I'm not able to, or kind of just be another little reminder for me. Let's say I have 50 tasks, but 10 are super crucial. I don't want to lose sight of that. So having individuals on my team that know, hey, Mia needs some support this week because she is, attending these events. Let's double check and make sure, we're following up with her so she can follow up with what she needs to do. So prioritizing my tasks was a huge item that I needed to start to do. But in summary, there was not enough time in the day to do everything. Absolutely not. So next year we're going to do still a lot of events, but a little bit less and a little bit more dividing and conquering. So you'll see some more S-Work spaces that have been joining me, as well as some new S-Work spaces that are probably going to be attending a little bit more this year coming up as well. So I can catch up a little bit on my beauty rest.
Okay. Okay. So of all the events you've been through this year, which one was your favorite?
That's a hard question. It's a really, really hard question. They're all very, very different. But I think maybe this one might stand out to me the most because it's been one of the last ones, but also one of the most different ones. Woman in Trucking. Woman in Trucking was very special for me because of the, you know, the 18 events I've been to, 17 are male dominated, right? And normally it's either myself going alone or maybe with one or two colleagues. So it's very, very different terrain when you're now going to this conference that's mostly women, and they come with a different mindset, you know. This conference is more for connecting and sharing advice and building those relationships, maybe having some mentorship. It's not like, let's say, Manifest or Freight Waves, where I think it's very much more sales-based and people know that people are going there to sell to you. So having that different kind of attitude at the Woman in Trucking Conference just made it a little bit more open. Guards were down a little bit more. It was just more friendly and, you know, woman supporting woman and let's bring each other up. So that type of, you know, attitude is not one that you see in all the conferences. I will say that there is a positive attitude in the majority of them. And I've had a positive experience, I would say, at 95% of them. But yeah, Woman in Trucking was special for me. I think that's also specifically because me as a woman, I had a different experience. I'm not sure how a male from the industry would or how they would react to that event. Although talking with, for example, Trey Griggs, I know was there. He said that it was a fabulous event for him as well. So I'd be curious to know, you know, kind of a man's perspective on that event.
Yeah, and the women are so good at the emotional support and really, you know, opening up and that type of thing. So just to be in that type of supportive environment, especially like you said, it's male dominated,
yeah,
very sales driven. Logistics overall has had a tough year. So yeah, I'm sure that was much needed support and sharing ideas and just meeting other people going through the same challenges.
Oh, totally. And I think it was really good wrapping it up at the end of the year as well. It was kind of a perfect cross with like Thanksgiving and, you know, let's be grateful and let's show gratitude to others and let's, you know, uplift each other. I think that it kind of intertwined perfectly to wrap up the year.
And you also, S-Works received an award, one of the top women, top places for women to work for.
Exactly. Yes. I'm super, super excited. No, I didn't really expect that to be something we'd receive, truly, not because I don't think we deserve it, but because we are, you know, fresher on the block. And so to have that recognition was huge for us. You know, our leadership team is, I believe, 65, 70% women. So we are, you know, technically a woman run company in one way or another. A lot of our operations is also composed of women, I believe 25% of our operational side as well. So we do have a huge chunk of women within our office. And so we want to make sure that we're encouraging that and, you know, keep spreading that awareness and motivating the women that we do have in our office, as well as encouraging others to come join the industry as well.
And you mentioned, you know, the being fresher in this industry. And I've read a lot about the rise of nearshoring and how important and the growth that's projected in the coming years. Can you just talk about that as a whole and why it's so needed, particularly in our industry?
Totally. Yeah. So nearshoring has been popping off. Obviously this all really kind of started or blew up right after the pandemic, when it really opened up a lot of doors for having remote or hybrid workers. And, you know, having a lot of new technology and platforms and ways to communicate and models and processes to follow. So then from that point on, it's just continuing to grow and grow. And specifically in this industry, you know, there's a lot of roles that people normally start to think about when they think of nearshoring or offshoring. And those are normally their back office, customer service reps, maybe their accounting reps, their tracking specialists, those types of things. So in this industry specifically, there are a lot of, for lack of a better word, entry level or junior roles that are being staffed in the US, but they're being paid, you know, like like mid-level or higher level experience-wise employees. And so it's draining pockets. And in addition with this market, right, you know, right now we're going through a freight recession. You know, a lot of people are struggling to stay afloat. You know, you're either doing okay, just okay to make it through, or you're sinking right now. So we're looking for a lot of new ways to be able to save those pennies. And nearshoring and offshoring is a huge way to be able to have a little bit more savings and reallocate that to other parts of your company, while also you're not losing anything in terms of the talent, right? These are still high performing individuals. They're working at the hours that you would like them to work. They're actually bilingual, so they might even be, you know, a higher level than what you're already finding in the United States. So there's a lot of value being able to tap into a global talent pool, especially during this time when a lot of people are struggling. And then not only the financial savings, right? But I would also mention the other component of the support. You know, having a partner that does know about the industry, it is on top of market trends and is able to kind of help you with that performance management piece, is a huge time savings. And time is money, right? So if you can save that time, use that time for other parts of your company so you guys can get past this rocky time and hopefully come out on top. So that's kind of where we come in. And we're trying to add that value. And I think that that's where a lot of nearshoring service providers are also jumping into right now.
And being that, you know, you went into a new market in Colombia and just opened up shop and you were like, you know, first boots on the ground and whatnot. What's it been like with like the local talent that you've been able to recruit and retain and in terms of like the opportunity you're providing for them?
Yeah, honestly, incredible. Like our very first employee is still with us today. So seeing those types of things is really cool. We've had a lot of our collaborators. So we use the word collaborators rather than employees because we like to say that they're not working for us, they're working with us, right? So a lot of our collaborators actually just came through referrals, internal referrals, you know, friends referring friends referring friends. And they're not just referring anybody because they don't want to, you know, have a bad image of themselves. They're only referring other superstars that they think would gain value from being in S-Works office. So it's really cool to see that, you know, we don't have to, on our sourcing side, do so much of the general, you know, follow us on LinkedIn and here's a job posting. A lot of it's just coming inbound to us. We've even had people cry to get in the doors of S-Works, which I just think is completely next level, but it's really beautiful to see that what our collaborators are sharing with others is causing that, you know, urge for people to want to be in our doors. And it's all very positive and just very beautiful. So I don't know, I'm very, very happy with what's happened. I think that it all stems from the top down. Our founders have very beautiful values and they use that to guide everything they do. And you can see that in our service and in our internal processes as well. And that's really just been the root of everything. And from there, it stemmed down. And so everything's just been that, again, that domino effect. And we're making sure that we're very selective with who comes onto our team as well. You know, we don't want it to just be anybody on the customer side or on the collaborator side. You know, as much as you're vetting us, we're vetting you as well, because this is a very special place. And so we want special people to be a part of it. And not just individuals that might just come in and maybe take advantage or just not really see the true value of S-Works and then, you know, step out the door the next day. That's everything we want to avoid.
Yeah. And I noticed that even in the conversations that we've had, because, you know, myself being a startup founder, if you ever want to talk to a lot of salespeople, start a business and post publicly and they will, swarm you.
Totally.
But I talk to a lot of salespeople and, you know, I can totally see the difference in terms of the way you approach it, in terms of making sure it's the right fit, asking a lot of questions, being upfront about the good, the bad, whatever it may be. So, you know, I can see where that's led to the growth here too, is just doing it the right way rather than just trying to make a quick sale.
Exactly. And, you know, we have six founding values and one of them is transparency. And I would say that word at least once per call, because it's really something that we live and we use, you know. And transparency is not telling you everything about myself, even my social security number. No, it's just not hiding or keeping things from somebody else. So we like to be as transparent as possible. You know, if we're not a good fit, I'm going to tell you that. I don't want you to just sign a contract just to get you in the door and then lose you the next day, that doesn't get any value for you or for me. So we are very, very open and transparent in our processes. Also very flexible and adaptive as well. You know, we understand that everyone's a human and we don't want to treat you as a number. We want to treat you special because you are special to us. So you can see that in your conversations with me, and you should be able to see that, you know, in our publications, in our conversations with our other team members. That is super, super crucial to us. And again, one of our 6 founding values.
Okay. Now also, you know, you mentioned the social media and how you do it differently and how you had to flip that lens. I was looking on your LinkedIn and some of the recent posts, and it caught me as I was just really, for someone as new in the work, you know, new in your career, and as young as you, very, you know, in touch with who you are and just free to express. But I just wanted to go over a couple of things. One of the posts you said is, and I'm paraphrasing here, the best feedback is negative.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually, I think I was on some LinkedIn or Fright X, something like that. And I came across that quote, and I just really, really loved it. You know, we're doing this process right now where we're actually reaching out to all of our customers and asking them for feedback. And I already started the process previous to Thanksgiving, and I, you know, was talking to my customers, and all of them were like, "We're so happy, we're so happy." And I'm like, "I'm happy that you're happy, but I can't grow if you're happy. What are you not happy about? You know, what is that negative feedback or that area of opportunity that I can work on? Because I want to be better. I don't want to be the same as I was yesterday or today. I want to be at least 1% better every day." So having that negative feedback is an easy way for somebody else to say, "Hey, here's my point of view as an outsider of what is one thing that you might be able to maybe switch around or modify or just make, again, that 1% better." And that's really what we're working towards. You know, every day you want to go up. You don't want to just stay in the same spot. You know, I can find for myself what I think my area of opportunity is, but that's a very biased view. You know, I'm looking at myself from the inside, but I need somebody from the outside to tell me what they're thinking. So I'm always pushing for that feedback, whether it's internal or external. You know, I love hearing, you know, "Hey, you know, I really think that you could have done this differently. Or did you ever think about that? Because maybe I really didn't think about that." And as I've mentioned, you know, multiple times today, you know, I love learning. I literally love it so much. So the more that you can teach me, or the more that you can kind of bring a new perspective, a shine light on a new idea, the more that I can, you know, learn, take that into account, and maybe, you know, change, you know, from path A to path B, or from, you know, the green path to the blue path. And then find something new and then apply that. And if I can apply that and make it not only better for me, but more valuable for the people that I talk to, then it's a win-win for everybody.
Okay. Another one, and this is something I think about a lot too, because I have teenagers, but you were talking about the pressure on kids to pick a career path and how you felt that. And you said in that post, it's important to embrace unexpected outcomes and events.
Yes. So I think that really came from my younger brother. He's currently in his junior year, and he doesn't know what he wants to do. And I just see myself in him. You know, I was in college and I had no idea what I wanted to do. I chose human services because all I knew is that I liked people. And so the word human was in the title, and I'm like, that's the one I want to do. And I think that if I had followed the track that I, you know, selected for myself, whether it had been mental health counseling or whether it had been working as a teacher or whatever, I would be happy with either path. But yeah, I'm also happy with this path, you know? So I'm very much embracing this unexpected path that I ended up falling on. And I want to encourage others to do the same. You know, when you're young, you're very much closed into this, I need to make a decision now, and this is going to be the decision for my rest of my life, because I finished my degree, and then after my degree, I go to work, and then after I go to work, I do this. And it's very much, you know, planned out, when it really doesn't need to be. You know, just think about today, and doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. You know, let it float. It's very hard, you know, having those what ifs. And for me, as someone that deals with a lot of, you know, stress and anxiety, not knowing what's to come can be very anxiety provoking. But when you kind of let go and realize, you know, there's 100 options out there, and if any of the 100 happen, I'm happy with any of them, then let whatever happen, happen, you know, like let the wind just take me to where I need to go, and kind of changing that mindset and letting go of those fears of what ifs, you know, kind of really allows you to open up more doors and maybe fall into a path or into an idea that you had never heard of before, but might be a better fit than what you ever even thought about.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great point. And you mentioned anxiety, and so many people, you know, particularly entrepreneurs, deal with anxiety, and it's not really something that's talked about, I think, enough in terms of just dealing with it, being open and honest about the challenges and the setbacks and everything you're going through. So it's great that you can have that awareness and then be able to do that with your mindset to help you deal with your own challenges.
Totally. You know, I think that that's also maybe part of the newer or the younger generation. We're very open and talk a lot about mental health and anxiety being technically a mental health condition. But I think more than that, anxiety is a spectrum, just like depression or even happiness. And so we're all on the spectrum. And some days we might be at the high end and some days we're at the low end. So if we can be open about it and understand that, hey, you know, I'm feeling anxiety just like you are, but today I'm at a 10 and you're at a 3, you know, and have that open conversation, then the first step is to identify it, right? And then put in place skills or tools to kind of not attack, but work around it. So if you're able to, you know, at least be conscious that, oh my God, I feel a tightness in my chest, or I feel like my hands are shaking, that's super, super important. And not everybody can do that, but that's the very first step.
Okay. So clearly 2 years in, you guys have had some excellent growth. What's next coming up in 2024 for S-Works?
Great question. So a lot of new stuff, some stuff that I can't say yet. Hopefully a lot of new growth. We're working on a lot of marketing and ventures. I'm not sure if you've seen recently, we are doing more seminar series talking either about marketing strategies or sales, or building your business in the new year. And really working on, you know, providing more resources and information to our customers or to others that are not our customers about the market right now and trends and things that are going on and how you can kind of counter those to stay afloat and survive during these times. So a lot more industry knowledge is what you'll see from us. And then on the other side, hopefully a lot more growth. You know, we opened up our second office this year, and hopefully next year we'll be able to expand a little bit more within Colombia and possibly elsewhere. The S-Works sales team is also growing right now very, very rapidly. So you'll see a lot of new faces coming around again to these events, and a kickload of events as well. That's for sure.
Okay. Excellent. And if people want to learn more about S-Works or get in touch with you, what's the best way they can do that?
Yeah. So S-Works is at sworksgroup.com. And you can also find us on LinkedIn at S-Works with a Z, as well as myself. You can find me on LinkedIn. And now recently a new member of Fright X, also at Mia Mazal. But feel free to shoot me a message or shoot me an email. I'd be more than happy to connect.
Okay, excellent. All right, well, Mia, thanks so much for taking the time today. And you can check me out at LinkedIn and sworks.com. And that's all the time we have for now. So thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Dave.
Hello again, Dave Goulas here. Thank you for tuning in to the Beyond Fulfillment podcast. If you like what you heard on today's episode and you got value from it, please click the link below to subscribe so you'll be notified of future episodes when they drop. If you would like to be a guest on a future show, you can also click the link below, or you can email us at info@beyondfulfillmentpodcast.com. That's info@beyondfulfillmentpodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.